Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button because it helps boost the profile of the show, both here on YouTube and on the iOS podcast app. Where else are we, Larson?
Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Mm.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah.
So I totally forgot to look up the patrons for last weekend.
Right?
Last week, yeah. I think I did Tuesday and Wednesday. Or no, I did Tuesday through Thursday.
Yes.
And then I neglected to do the rest of it, which I said I was going to. This is what happens whenever I try to do something new. But I want to say thank you to all the patrons out there who have donated. I'm just going to read off a bunch of patrons right here because whatever, it's an NXT episode. Matthew Duggan, Andy Godwin, Travis Andrews, John Mackey, Kyle O'Donnell, Rich Thompson, HBK, Sam Williams, Minnesota Arctic Blast, Nathaniel Elias, Alex Reyes, Marcus Felton, Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, the Phenomenal Scotsman, Gary Hall, Michael Styles, Rafael Jimenez, the Nervous Underdog with Heart, Sahil Dillon, Marty Moffat, Frank, Bailey's Blade Job, Macho Mickle, Randy Pickle, Ted C. Williams, Scott Steiner's Math Student, Leyland Thompson, Be Quiet Son, Dai Chi, Rory Brown, Jeffrey Gunter, Name Explain, Jason, Andy Dora, Michael Wilson, Dylan Beck, and Jordy Diaz.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You can't get that shirt, though. I bet you wish that was on our shop, though, because you love that shirt.
No, I don't like the shirt at all.
It's your punishment shirt. I think it's a great-looking shirt, though.
No, it's not.
What the heck? Anyways. All right, Larson, we're going to talk about some 205 Live, some NXT today. I'll be honest with you. I usually get more hyped for NXT than I do 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure why that is. I think I'm just really, really... Because I don't get to see NXT anywhere else, and 205 Live, I already see on Raw. I'm not huge on the branding. I mean, I've gone over this a million times.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to get with the crowd, and it's going to be crap. Although with NXT last night, you can tell that was one of their later tapings.
Yes.
Because, man, that crowd was like on their hands for a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I again, like 205 Live has a slew of really good programs going.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah.
It's like the perfect example of feuds that don't revolve around belts.
Yes.
You know, like Raw and SmackDown, you typically, everything kind of revolves around their titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean Ambrose comes out and he talks about the IC title and everything revolves around that. Finn, Bray, like everything revolved around that match.
Yeah.
And then they all get split up into their things.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt feuds usually are just about him cutting promos, saying weird things.
Yeah, and him doing his work.
Yeah, exactly. With 205 Live, there are like solid storylines happening that don't have to revolve around belts.
Yeah.
You've got the Brian Kendrick, Akira Tozawa with the lessons. You've got Drew Gulak's mission to stop high flying.
Yeah, you have Rich Swann and Noam Dar.
You've got a romance angle thing going.
And so, you got Neville Perkins, while Neville is champion.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline between the two of them doesn't necessarily have to involve the championship belt.
Right, you've got like sort of a three-way going, if you will, because you've got, you know, Austin Aries and how he's going after the title, and then, you know, how Neville is trying to prevent that, maybe by manipulating TJP.
Yeah.
TJP not appreciate. So you've got like a bunch of good things. Just, I don't know, man. I go into it and I'm like, yeah, but I think because of that, I'm always end up surprised.
Well, part of the thing with 205 Live, though, I think is regardless of how interesting the stories may be in terms of the matches, very often the matches are good, but you always feel like, man, they really let them do what they can do, mm-hmm. they could be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm always impressed by the matches.
I know, but
it's not even that. It's honestly, it's the branding, and moreover, it's like the crowd. Like, nobody's ever into it.
See, I go back to
like a broken record, man.
Like, I can't think of a match Noam Dar. I mean, the main event last night was good. It started off a little sloppy, but by the end of it, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the Noam Dar Zack Sabre Jr. match during the Cruiserweight Classic.
Okay,
and Noam Dar, you know, you always hear that Zack Sabre Jr. is like this technical genius. Noam Dar, like, hung with him the entire match.
Yeah.
From a technical standpoint. And we have not seen any of that from Noam Dar.
Yeah.
On 205 Live.
I need to go back and watch that.
And you watch Rich Swann, and he is, like, the most dynamic, athletic guy in the entire 205 Live roster, probably.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's spectacular.
Yeah.
And he shows flashes of that. But, you know, if, like, he and Cedric Alexander, they gave him 15 minutes to say, do whatever you want. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they don't have them do that. Yeah. At least not on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bummer because you see these flashes of what this show could be, and it could be fantastic, and the crowd could be really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they just don't do it, at least not on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they'll give us a match where we'll say, wow, that's how it should be all the time.
Yeah.
But it just kind of happens too infrequently.
Well, let's talk about the hand that we are dealt.
Yes.
It opened up with medics helping Chris Jericho backstage. And last time I checked, Chris Jericho is not part of the 205.
No, but they did this. They've done this before. They did this with, remember when AJ went backstage and
they opened 205 Live with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they opened up like a, well, that was on Talking Smack.
Yeah, some of it was, but when he was walking backstage and that whole thing started.
Okay.
They aired it first on 205 Live a couple months back, whenever
trying
it was.
To keep some continuity in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jericho's sell on his injuries were great,
mm-hmm.
because it was both believable but kind of over the top.
Yeah.
It seemed to me. It's Jericho. Good. I think he regardless of what he's doing, he's trying to entertain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it was great.
But that led to, you know, opening package, and they seemed like they transferred the ring over to the 205 Live pretty quickly. Because I don't remember, there was no promo or anything between that and the first match.
It's always so, like, we've seen the changeover a couple times live at this point, and it's always disappointing to see them just bust out a lot of purple tape. It's so ridiculous. It's so, like, it's like, man, whose idea was that? Just use purple tape. I mean, it's a really good one because it's effective.
It's quick.
But it's so ridiculous. Like, they just have, like, these guys come out with, like, these obscene rolls of purple tape.
And they put one layer on top of the ropes, another layer on the bottom, and then around the turnbuckles where the rope gets thicker, they just take tape and wrap it around.
Yeah. And then there's like the detail guy who's like just patching up little spots here and there.
I know. And then when they break it down, they just rip all the tape off.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. We had TJP, no longer TJ Perkins, TJP. Speculate. What was the reason for that one? Perkins to face of a name?
Maybe actually using one's full name is actually a face move.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas abbreviations are a heel move.
That could be. TJP, we had versus Lince Dorado. When's the last time we saw Lince Dorado?
It's been a little while.
Has it been? Okay, that's what I feel too. He was like injured, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think he was. This was a fun match. TJP, I'm feeling his heel persona.
Yeah, he's doing really good work.
Kind of said this is what he needed. He needed to be a heel, and he's a heel,
and he's an effective heel.
Fan is satisfied.
Yes. Now your TJP shirt is no longer a punishment shirt. You are a fan.
Well, thank goodness, it's actually a really comfy shirt.
I know this shirt is not comfortable.
Is this one of the hard ones?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they still use that material.
Yes, they do.
That's horrible.
Predominantly.
Like, when you leave here, it's going to be around 87 too, according to my thing. So
it's already really hot.
That's going to suck. Yeah.
Well, I brought another shirt. As soon as we're done shooting Dirt Sheet, this shirt is off me forever.
Are you going to give it to me?
If you want it.
Can I have it?
Yeah.
It's sort of a motivational shirt because it's going to be tight around my belly.
I don't want it. I don't want it anywhere near me. I don't
I'll make it. I'll have Lacey make it into a tank top.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean she'll just cut the sleeves off?
No, that's just sleeveless.
Oh, you want it to actually...
The low neck, too.
Okay.
Yeah. tank tops, difference. Kendrick interview happened next.
Yeah, he was kind of revisiting.
Oh, TJP won with a knee bar.
Yeah, Kendrick was kind of revisiting various aspects of his feud with Akira Tozawa.
It was great. It was a sit-down interview with Corey Graves, and he was going back and saying, you know, this happened before. This started before 205 Live. I knew him back in the day. He was a kid, and now when he showed up in 205 Live, I wanted to be his mentor, and he's... You know, he disrespected me by saying no, and then out of nowhere, Akira Tozawa attacks during the interview.
Kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
Sits down and says, lesson number five, always end an interview with an impact.
And then he starts doing that stuff. No, I like that. I love Akira Tozawa.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
So we have, two or three more lessons left, and then we'll get their blow-up match.
Yeah.
Something like that. Then we had, this was a great match. I like this.
Oh, yeah.
Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak. Again, we're continuing, and I loved his promo at the end. We're continuing Drew Gulak's protest against high-flying maneuvers.
He ain't lying. Yeah, no high-flying.
And again, he's the heel who is, and this is a great storytelling here because, you know, true to his word, you know, when Mustafa Ali would climb up to the top turnbuckle and try to do some fancy stuff, he would back away to mitigate that, and he would tell the ref, get him down.
Yes.
He needs to get down.
Yes.
Very dad-like. He's the most dad guy there is on 205 Live. And so he ended up getting... So Drew Gulak ended up going, trying to finish him off... Mustafa Ali tried to finish off Drew Gulak with a 450 splash.
It was a frog splash.
Frog splash.
Drew put his legs up.
Yeah, he got the knees up.
And then rolled Ali up for the win.
Yeah, and then he cut a great promo where he said... These competitors are putting themselves at risk. I am trying to save themselves from themselves.
Yeah.
Again, heel who makes a good point.
Yes.
Yeah. Which one of these matches did Corey Graves do the Instagram reference? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Because I was listening for it. It's so funny. I kind of realized, like, Corey Graves, I think Corey Graves and Tom Phillips have kind of the you and I dynamic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so often he's trying to make Tom Phillips laugh.
Yes.
There was one shot during the Swan Dar match where they were in view during the match and Corey Graves said something that was pretty comical and he says it and he looks over at Tom and Tom goes like this. And it just reminded me, like, whenever I say something that's intentionally trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And then I go look for a response. Anyways, I thought it was cute. At some point, it's kind of made like the dirt sheets because it was silly. He made a reference to, he said something like, you know, it's like when somebody sends an Instagram picture, an inappropriate Instagram picture to somebody that wasn't supposed to go to, something along those lines. And then on Twitter, Corey Graves said, because, you know, that obviously happened with Tom Phillips and his dingus. Corey Graves said, if you can't bust the chops of your best friend, who can you bust? True or yay or nay?
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean,
are you anti busting chops?
No. But you know, there's, I guess, a limit to everything.
Oh my goodness, you're so like, dad today.
Wear this shirt for an entire week and see how you.
Are
feel.
Are you that salty about the shirt?
I don't like it. Oh my I've been wearing goodness. It the whole week. It's uncomfortable. It's throwing me off my game a little bit.
Well, then put on a different shirt. We got other shirts.
No, this
around
is punishment.
Here.
This is the whole point of the shirt. It's
if,
punishment.
If it's going to affect your actual mindset, then we got to think of a new punishment.
Kind of is today.
Can we just like just the recap? Can we just do the punishment
well, that's,
there?
Well, that's fine for next time. But the punishment this week is wear the shirt the entire week.
I feel
for
like
all our
I'm
programming.
Getting punished. I'm getting punished because of your punishment.
Well,
the people at home are getting punished
could
right
be.
Now. Anyways, let's talk about Rich Swann versus Noam Dar.
Yeah. A lot of headlocks at the beginning of this match.
Is this their blow-off match or what?
I don't know. And in the beginning of the match felt a little sloppy. There's a couple spots where it seemed like they couldn't
handle it.
On the same page.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's miscommunication or, you know, they were still kind of feeling out some chemistry.
Sure.
Or what. But beginning of the match felt a little sloppy. But it picked up. Noam Dar, about halfway through the match, started working over Rich Swann's left arm.
Yeah.
Swann was doing a decent job selling that. Rich Swann hits a Phoenix Splash, usually his finisher on Noam Dar.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a beat before going for the cover because he was selling the arm injury.
Yeah.
By the time he gets over for the cover, gives Noam enough time to get his wits about him. He kicks out.
Yes.
And then Noam eventually wins with his running kick thing.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they had Noam go over.
I like this. I think that he would be hurt more. I mean, It's 205 Live. I don't know if anybody gets hurt or hurt or helped by losses and wins. But I like this because, like, Rich Swann's kind of been getting over on him for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You need some back and forth.
And assuming this isn't the blow-off match, you know, then Rich Swann could eventually come out on top.
I did like the video package. The video package reminded me of how funny Noam Dar can be.
Yeah.
Especially when he says, when he's forced to say Alicia Fox, but quicker than the full drawn out one. Alicia Fox. Like, he says it really, it's fine. I don't know, it's funny. Makes me laugh. But anyways, yeah, good for Noam Dar. He got the win. Again, you know, they have an hour and there were three matches and they let all of them breathe. I love that. You know,
They told some stories.
These are all really, really high quality matches.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I hate going back to the same well, dude. So I'm not going to do that. It's just, this needs to be
smaller venue,
hot crowd.
Yeah. Actually, it just needs a hot crowd. It could be a larger venue as long as the crowd's into it. That's all that really matters.
Yeah.
So after Dar's win, Alicia Fox comes down to the ring.
Yes, correct.
And then Dar pretty much jumps into her arms and they finish the show embracing.
Yeah.
Once again, unified.
Yes. So,
or so it seems.
Good for her, even though she said, like, I didn't really care about you.
That she was just using him.
I would have thought that'd be like, okay, well, F you then.
Well,
like at that point, I'd be like,
apparently Dar doesn't care.
And also, this episode of 205 Live also got me sad because I realized we have not had Cedric Alexander in such a long time.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a little bit longer.
I really want him back.
Knee injury.
Oof. That sucks.
Yeah.
How long did they say how long he's probably going to be out?
I thought I heard a few months, probably 4 to 6.
Jeez, that's a half a year. You can start going into the half a year territory there. Mm-hmm. That's not a couple months, man. That's a half a year.
Well, I mean, he got hurt a couple months ago, so I don't know if he had a couple months left.
Oh, more months. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about NXT.
Yes.
Even this episode of NXT, you know, I think I'm so spoiled by Aleister Black and, for that matter, Drew McIntyre, and neither of them were on this.
Yeah.
Although we did get... We got some good stuff with Roderick Strong. This is going to be interesting. I read the spoiler, so I know what happens. I won't spoil them here. But it kicked off, the episode of NXT kicked off with Big Damo, who they like to call Killian Dane. He came out with Eric Young as Sanity.
Yeah.
And
no Alexander Wolf, no Nikki Cross.
I know. That might have been it. No Alexander Wolf. I didn't get any of the moshing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like a proper episode of NXT.
Feel like a proper Sanity entrance.
Without Alexander Wolf.
Yeah.
Anyways, they were taking on Danny Burch. So, some of the jobbers in this crack me up. Although I like Danny Burch.
Yeah.
He's the guy who looks really old. But
yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. He's a British guy. I always love the Union Jack when it's in just black and white.
I think they said during the UK tournament that he was in NXT at one point, Danny Burch.
Like, oh, really?
Early on, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So probably 2013 or so.
Huh. I'll have to go back and look at some of those cheesy old episodes.
But I don't know if he ever made it to TV or he just could have been the developmental aspect of the Performance Center back then. I don't know exactly.
That could be. Anyways, this is a bit more of a back and forth than I figured it would be.
Although Damo had the upper hand for
the majority of it, but Danny Burch didn't go down without a fight.
Yeah, he got some offense.
My point. He got a little bit in. Anyways, Damo picked up the win with, I forget what they're calling it, but it's a one-winged angel. I think it's local, like it has a locality in it.
Ulster?
Is that one? Okay, yeah. Ulster, okay. The Ulster winged angel. Did you mark out for the Patrick Clark package as much as I did?
Oh, yeah.
You know what kind of mitigated my marking out? Is that Lacey looked up and said, what the hell is this?
Cold water.
Totally. Cold water Lacey. So I had to explain
stealing
to her,
my gimmick.
I was like, I know. I'm like, man, it's bad enough I got you half the time. And she's next to me. She's, what is this? I'm like, this guy has... Then I have to explain it. Then you have to go into explaining shit.
Mm.
It's a Prince gimmick. The dude's got a Prince gimmick, essentially. And she's like, how do you watch this? I'm like, it pays bills, man.
Yeah.
Woman. I didn't say that.
And you said it's
fun. Oh, yeah, my ass beat.
It's fun to watch.
I know. It's fun enjoyable. To watch. You're killing my funness right now.
Yeah.
Lacey.
Anyways, after that, we had Heavy Machinery take on Ricardo Watts.
They really need to figure out, sorry, going back to the Patrick Clark thing. They really need to figure out how to integrate smoke with green screen. Because I feel like there was some awkwardness there with the smoke and green screen.
Oh,
which,
maybe.
Which to me actually kind of added to how cheesy it is.
See, I watched my laptop.
It feels like Patrick Clark did this himself.
I watched it on my laptop, but I didn't full screen it because I go back and forth between watching and writing notes.
Sure.
So I didn't notice, you know, my video player is only about that large, so I guess I didn't notice any problems.
Okay, all right. Let's see here. Next up, we had Heavy Machinery
versus Ricardo Watts and Hector Kunzman.
I loved this. These fellas, God bless their souls, maybe $1.20 between the two of them.
Yeah.
They were tiny. They looked like they were 12 at most.
It seems like they found the two smallest
most
wrestlers.
Most diminutive.
In maybe all of Florida.
Yeah. And they would be up for the prize of most diminutive wrestlers, barring actual little people. They were tiny.
Yeah.
They were so thin.
Yeah.
They were swimming in like small size singlets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It was great. So, of course, you get these, like, talk about
hosses.
Hosses.
Combined over 600 pounds. They said Otis was 340 himself.
Otis, here's the great thing about these guys. Otis seems to actually revel in being a hoss.
Yeah.
I feel like Tucker is a reluctant hoss.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
His promo, I bought every word he
really?
Was saying.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't at all. I felt like that guy felt guilty for eating as much, for talking about eating as much as he did. It was not, I don't know, man. I'll put it this way.
Maybe I was just amused because they talk so much about eating and refer to themselves as beef.
No, here's the thing. We're totally on the same page when it comes to awarding points for effort and enthusiasm. However, that fella needs so many more reps on the mic.
Oh, it wasn't perfect, but I didn't think believability was an issue.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anyways, regardless, I was entertained. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just have to appreciate the developmental aspect of things.
Oh, yeah. Heavy Machinery won when Dozovic had both competitors in his arms.
Was amazing.
Did a slam as Tucker Knight did a Luthez press.
That was absolutely amazing.
Otis. It was
fantastic. When that big boy carried around two competitors just hugging them, and they were just all locked up tight.
Yeah.
They were just hugging each other.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lick of sense, really, but it was fantastic. Heavy Machinery picks up the win, then they deliver a hilarious promo. They're just so on different pages because Otis is like this slobbering mess who's just shouting out words.
He's pure hoss energy.
He really is, whereas Tucker is articulate, verbose, well-spoken, talking about eating in almost a scientific manner. I think that's what got me. I'm like, eating is like a violent, it should be a violent act. It should be,
well, I mean,
you just dig into what you have as if it's a carcass.
Well, I mean,
your animal, that sandwich is like a dead, is your kill.
I mean,
I
agree at times there, you should be enthused.
It's a shameful, horrible act.
You should be enthused about eating, but as I said earlier,
performed in a dark room.
Limits.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyways, they said they're hungry for some Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
In a figurative sense. I don't believe they were speaking of cannibalism.
No, I don't think that's...
Do you?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
So confirmed, Heavy Machinery's gimmick is not cannibalism.
No.
Then we had a backstage promo with DIY. Who was interviewing them?
Wasn't that the new interviewer?
No, it was a different new interviewer. I think it was a new interview, but it was a different one.
Oh.
Because the other one was a blondie.
Hmm.
This one was not. They're just reeling out all these interview auditions here.
So anyways, DIY was saying essentially line begins here.
Yeah, DIY.
For a shot at Authors of Pain.
They can be so corny when they do their promos.
I kind of feel like they just need to move on to Main already.
Yeah, I know.
That's
kind of
how
at that
I
point.
Feel. I feel like they're just there spinning their wheels waiting for their call up.
I know.
And
I
they know
like
that.
It's kind of like they, that's the thing. They know that. And I think they're just sort of like.
Like, literally, I think if TM61, if Shane Thorne hadn't gotten hurt,
yeah,
DIY would be on Main.
I think you're right.
They're just not a face tag team to replace
them. I totally think you're right about that. Next up, we had Keanu Reeves, the depixelated version of The Rock.
Kona Reeves.
/ Moana versus Hideo Itami. Wonder who won this one. Another smaller opponent for Keanu Reeves to fight.
There was that spot where Reeves was in the corner and Hideo was kicking him.
Yeah.
And I swear it looked like some of those kicks were landing square on Kona Reeves' jaw.
Keanu Reeves. Hideo Itami went over with his GTS.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, you going to pick up a win anytime soon?
Eventually.
Yeah. He should. Against like a Danny Burch-esque guy. Like if Danny Burch and Keanu Reeves are in the ring together, I feel like the world would implode. Anyways. That next up, we got Who a Dead Man, Part 2.
Yeah, Who is Roderick Strong?
Who is Dead Man?
Part 2, where they talked about...
Who is Dead Man?
Delve more into his current personal life.
Yeah.
His fiance, who's a MMA fighter, one of the four horsewomen.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay. All right, cool. I thought I recognized
him. And they just had their first child.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were shots of him putting together a pack and play.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the last package looked more at his past.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was more present and future.
It gave him some daddy motivation. It was like Dadcast on NXT.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this?
It was effective.
Did it help get you behind Roderick Strong any more? Therein lies the is if it's effective or not.
Oh, I know.
It was effective in look, the question was answered. Who is Roderick Strong? We know now. He's
yeah,
dad.
Yeah.
He's dad. He seems like a good guy.
He seems like a nice guy.
Exactly.
He was I was actually surprised, and I think someone pointed this out to us on Twitter before I watched it, that WWE, specifically NXT, is not shy about referencing Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
There was first of all a shot, I'm guessing maybe Roderick Strong's first workout session.
Seemed like it was around there.
At the Performance Center. He was wearing a Ring of Honor t-shirt. Sure. And then he called himself. He said, I was Mr. Ring of Honor for 13 years.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Usually, like when Roderick Strong appeared, first debuted, you know, we've known he was in Ring of Honor forever. I don't think they said anything about Ring of Honor. They said this guy, like they do for a lot of people they bring in, has won championships everywhere he's gone. I think this is one of, if not the first time, they've mentioned Ring of Honor by name more than once.
I would be fascinated to know what the impetus for that was, because you're right. I mean, they made it pretty obvious.
I just wonder if there's so much of his career is tied to Ring of Honor that if they had not said it, it would have seemed awkward.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, you know, you can get around saying TNA by saying, world, she's gone around the world.
But when one guy is so tied and so known for working for one promotion prior to NXT, it's really hard. Because even AJ, yeah, he was in TNA forever, but he also was in Japan.
My thing about, what about Samoa Joe, though? I mean, he did a lot before TNA on the indie circuit and in Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah, he was, you know, I think he's still the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He was champ for almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. Jeez, I know that. But yeah, when your nickname is literally Mr. Ring of Honor, and that's kind of all. I mean, it's not all he's done, but that's
He was, Roderick Strong was former PWG champ. And
oh, yeah, but PWG. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's great. I am curious about, like, you know, I don't know. I would find it hard to believe. I don't know. I'm interested to know why they would make an exception for him. I would find it hard to believe that they would go so far out of their way for everybody else, but then one guy, they wouldn't, and they would focus. They would let him say that. I honestly think they probably just don't care. Here's the thing also. They know, and I know that there has been some a bit of sort of legal threats from Ring of Honor to WWE.
Signing Ring of Honor talents, yeah.
Well, tampering with currently signed talents.
But I think prior to that, they've had, by and large, a decent relationship because Ring of Honor has let WWE use footage and some of their documentaries and stuff.
Right, exactly. So at this point, I think it's probably just a change. I mean, look, we've seen a number of changes in the way they handle the whole independent circuit over the past... even 6 months, but to a year, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, keeping their names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot more guys coming in, keeping their names.
And then, was it on SmackDown?
Roderick Strong keeping his name.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, they, you know, referenced Shinsuke as the youngest IWGP champion ever.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think they referred to Gallows and Anderson as IWGP.
Oh, they did.
It seems... you know, a more recent thing, something they've just done within at least the last 6 months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they had, like, you know, I don't want to say issues, but, you know, I'm sure New Japan, you know, the higher-ups in New Japan have said some unkind words about the WWE and their strategy, and I'm sure they weren't happy at all with them poaching the shit out of them 2 years ago or whatever it was.
Year plus ago,
exactly. And so, I don't know. You and I both know it would be absolutely silly for WWE not to reference Ring of Honor, but we also know that they have their things. They have their lines that they're not going to cross, but it just seems that that line seems to constantly being moved, seems to be constantly on the move.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because it's like, it's just ridiculous not to.
And I think Daniel Bryan, before he took his break recently, mentioned Impact on Talking Smack. I thought
he did. Yeah, he did.
But I think Daniel Bryan's not afraid to go off script.
Yeah, exactly. And he's Daniel Bryan. He can get away with a lot. So no, I like this, and you know why I like this, because as I was watching it, I was like, this is great. Doesn't really do much for me once he shows up and he's in the ring. I don't really care that he's doing this for his family. I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. But in terms of like the characters that I see in the ring, that doesn't do much for me. But then as soon as he showed up after the next segment, which was Rude and Regal backstage.
Yeah, and Rude was fairly dismissive of Roderick Strong, of those kind of the story being told in those two video packages.
The insinuation we're getting is that they were watching it at the same time we were watching it, and Bobby Roode was just on his phone the whole time. He says, huh, oh, that's great. And then Regal told him that Hideo Itami and Roderick Strong are going to be fighting for the number one contendership next week, and then Roderick Strong entered. I actually did feel, I was like, oh, cool, it's him now. I know that guy.
Yeah.
So it was kind of effective.
Well, I think if nothing else, they've dedicated so much time to him in the last 2 weeks that even if before he was kind of a mid-card guy, based on the amount of attention he's been getting, it just elevates him.
Here's my thing about Roderick Strong now, though. The fact that he said, I was in Ring of Honor for 13 years. I was Mr. Ring of Honor. I think the biggest and best way to give him an effective main roster debut, because that's your goal in NXT, is to, once they get to the main, make sure you've got the biggest impact possible. And we've seen how that's fallen flat with Ty Dillinger because he didn't have the NXT, because he didn't do what you said they should have done and we thought they were going to do.
Yeah,
because if he had gone and had the path that we talked about, overcoming adversity, finally becoming the NXT champion, in essence, the people's NXT champion, that would have given him so much more of a boost when he hit main.
Oh, yeah.
And you agree with that. Roderick Strong has made it known that his thing was loyalty to Ring of Honor. In essence, that's what I got from the package, right?
Yeah.
And that he's a father and he has something to fight for now. But I was in Ring of Honor for 13 years. He needs a lengthy stay in NXT. He needs to be there for a while. He needs to be champion for a while. He needs to maybe try to break Finn Balor, especially with all this huge talent that's coming in. He needs to be
Mr. NXT now,
because Drew McIntyre, he's ready for main yesterday. Okay. You know what I mean?
Bobby Roode is too.
Aleister Black, ready yesterday. Bobby Roode. Roderick Strong is a guy who can get lost in the shuffle. So let's give him the strongest possible NXT run. And it worked for Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And look at, because I think if Finn Balor had gone up too early, I mean, look, that guy's a stud. We know it. But to have such a strong connection with NXT to be the longest running NXT champion really helped him when he landed on main.
Yeah, it helped him really build his brand.
Exactly. And Roderick Strong, he's a guy who he kind of looks, I mean, he looks like an everyman. That's not helping him. He's nondescript, but he's really good in the ring.
Yeah.
And he could be somebody who's very relatable, but you need him to struggle. You need him to come out to have a lengthy. His is going to be one of running a marathon, not sprinting.
Yeah, they need to really take his time if they really want to build him up.
Exactly.
Into essentially Mr. NXT.
Exactly. And that can be his thing. Yeah. That can totally be his thing.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Which took us to our main event. The Battle Royal determined the new number one contender to Asuka's Women's Championship.
What a clusterfuck this was. Like, it was fine, it was entertaining, but man, it was a mess.
It was cool to see Candice LeRae in the ring. She got the crowd popped for her.
Yeah, the crowd was hot for her. They were hot for, they were getting on Aaliyah's case when she eliminated. Who did she eliminate? I think it was Rachel Evers.
Yeah.
It was Rachel Ellering, I think. Yeah. I think they were getting on her for that. We saw Sarah Bridges in there.
Billy Kay and Peyton Royce had a good showing, eliminating at least five competitors, I think.
Yeah, they're always fun. They're always a lot of fun. Sonya Deville used to be going by Daria Baronato.
Yeah.
But they've changed her name. I wonder
why. But not her gimmick.
But her gimmick's the exact same. I don't know why they simply just changed her name.
I don't know either. Especially when she had been on TV a couple times.
Yeah.
And was in a program, albeit short, with Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Yeah. But I guess they figure that they're, you know, they're not close to pulling the trigger on her, so they can just do that. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. I kind of like the name Daria Baronato.
I do too.
Sonya Deville doesn't really fit. Like Sonya, hello, Mr. Deville.
It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit her gimmick.
She's
really
an MMA fighter. She's like, ah, a hardcore MMA fighter. Baronato sounds.
I know.
You know. Sometimes you just got to go from the gut. It kind of bugged me. They just refer to Candice LeRae as Candice.
I know.
That bugged me.
I wonder though if they're saving, assuming she's gonna be in the women's tournament, they're saving her, you know, proper debut till then.
Yeah, I know.
Because we never got a close up of her.
So
or anything like
half
that.
In, half out. I hate know. That. It's so annoying. Give her a big debut. She's a big star.
Oh yeah. So you know, lots of eliminations. Final three: Ember Moon, Ruby Riott, and Nikki Cross.
Yeah,
and they had a pretty good back and forth between the three of them. If you know, we got a triple threat match with these three competitors at any point, I think it'd be pretty darn great.
Yeah, no, absolutely, be good.
But Asuka decided that no one's going to win this battle royal, so she comes in and beats the hell out of everybody, including throwing Ember Moon out of the ring. And Ember Moon taking a pretty nasty bump on the floor. And she kind of got her shoulder twist. She essentially like landed just flat on. Did you watch it?
I closed my eyes. Like, I saw her throw her, and dude, I can't do it these days. I closed my eyes and I missed
it. See, at first I watched it and I was like, was she supposed to be thrown into the ring post? Okay. So I watched it a couple times to see if that were the case.
Okay.
But Ember Moon launched herself with such velocity, I doubt that.
Okay.
So she just goes through the top and middle rope.
Yeah.
Out to the mat, lands flat, but then her arm is kind of, it looks like she was trying to reach for the guardrail.
Okay.
And so she had her arm kind of twisted back like this when she landed.
All right.
And her head might have hit the guardrail a little bit. It looked rough. It looked like it hurt. But it looked like it hurt bad.
We know she injured her shoulder. Right?
WWE hasn't announced anything as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
She was selling shoulder injury, and it might have, I mean, based on how she was selling, it might have been legit. I hope not. I hope she's fine.
Well, her arm was in a sling for some pictures that we saw.
Oh, okay. I didn't see those pictures.
Oh, I thought you did see them. Mm-hmm. I thought we saw them together, and you're like, oh, look, her arm's in a sling.
No, I didn't see
those. Yeah, her arm's in a sling.
Oh.
Yeah. So is it possible to, like, it? I don't know. Like, I didn't look at it.
I mean, it's entirely possible that it got bent back awkwardly, that something could have tore
Or just got twisted, but there.
You know, we're so conditioned as wrestling fans when we see an injury to not be sure whether it's real or not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, like right now, Braun Strowman was supposed to have a torn rotator cuff, but he just was in a house show in Italy and was touring Rome with Roman Reigns. That even when WWE announces that someone's hurt, you don't really know if that's the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping that that was an awesome sell job, that the arm in the sling is a sell. Considering it's in a sling, I'm skeptical that's the case. I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
I hope she's not hurt because she's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was a rough spot.
And somebody brought up this point, too, in the questions. I'll wait till the questions get there.
The shirt is so uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, man.
I got one more show to do. Anyways, continue.
All right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was what it was. Regal came out and said, I'm announcing at TakeOver Chicago, Fatal 4-Way for Asuka's Women's Championship NXT. Ruby Riott, Ember Moon, Nikki Cross, and Asuka will be fighting for the Women's Championship NXT.
Yeah. What do you think of
TakeOver Chicago?
Of Asuka's current character?
Ready, just spinning wheels again. I mean, I guess there's nothing more you can do with somebody who's so dominant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't see the title changing hands in Chicago. I would assume the next takeover, and then like the one for SummerSlam.
Yeah,
and then get her out of there. What else can you do?
She's broken every record in NXT in terms of length of reign. I think she beat Goldberg's.
Yeah.
Even kayfabe.
I think the fake one. I think she
undefeated
broke that
streak.
So let me ask you this. You ask me how do I like the character. What is her motivation for coming out last night?
I would assume to reassert her dominance.
To reassert her dominance?
Because she said after she laid everybody out, none of you are ready.
Yeah.
None of you are ready for Oscar.
I like, but is this continuing along a thread that we might have saw that I think was presented at the last takeover where she had to cheat to win against Ember Moon. I thought it wasn't presented properly. You were fine with it, but that does seem to be the course that they're going to take with this. By the way, when Ember Moon dropped the eclipse on Nikki Cross, that was an interesting sell job from Nikki Cross. She stayed in it the entire time. It was kind of like the McMahon one, but without histrionics.
Yeah.
Where like he takes it the entire thing. It doesn't like spring back. He just lumps. Kind of interesting. I kind of liked it. So is this supposed to be Asuka playing mind games, keeping her from having Ember Moon as a one-on-one opponent, or any of them as a one-on-one opponent, or her just messing with people? You know what it feels like to me, to be honest, and I know this isn't it. Remember when Anderson Silva had just cleaned out the division, and then he got bored, so he started playing with people, and then eventually he got caught.
Yeah.
Never really recovered from that.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like they're going that route. Like, oh, now she's just kind of messing with people out of arrogance.
Hubris,
exactly. Which is fine. I mean, I think that's as good a way to go as any. But yeah, she's so ready for me. Let me ask you something. Do you want her to pass the torch in the traditional way, or would you like to see her go, like, to vacate the belt and just leave? Because I kind of prefer that. Because I don't think anybody now that they've presented, I think, is believable to take this.
Yeah,
offer.
I understand that, but I think also to benefit the women's division NXT, I think whoever does beat Asuka, that's huge. That's huge for that.
I know, but is it just, I don't know. Like Samoa Joe, Shinsuke, Finn Balor, that all that made sense. They all made sense. Nobody here makes sense to take it off her.
And I think that's, I wonder why, if that's why, instead of doing a one-on-one match at this next takeover, that you're doing a multi-person match again, which just happened in San Antonio during Royal Rumble weekend.
It's a bummer there is no true heir apparent. That's my thing.
I know.
That's my point.
I know. They've done a good job of building up depth.
Right, but there's not a star.
Yeah, there's no one. There's no heir apparent, as you mentioned. There's no one that seems ready to take the belt.
I think given more
time,
if Ruby Riott had debuted 6 months earlier, she might make a really good case for herself. If they had teased Nikki Cross, or if they'd done more than tease Nikki Cross 6 months ago when they did, and like really jumped into that.
Well, I mean, I think
I thought the sanity thing would have been the best way to get that title off her, because you're diving into territory that Asuka, like, those are literally impossible odds when you have three beast men helping out, you know, Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That could have made some measure of sense, and you could have had Asuka going in there and maybe even messing with sanity. I mean, you're getting into territory they don't want to dive into with the intergender stuff. I get that. But I think there was a way that they could have, I don't know. I don't. But then again, that's setting Nikki Cross up to be weak because she had sanity's help.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think all three of the finalists in the Battle Royal last night all feel like they're just one step away from
potentially getting
to the point where they could challenge Asuka.
And Ember Moon's the closest.
Oh, yeah, because they had a great match at TakeOver.
Yeah.
I mean, she was setting up to win that match.
They had that they could have, if they had added 8 minutes to that match, I probably would have believed it a lot more than I do now.
Hold on a second, though. So Asuka pushes the ref into the ropes to prevent Ember Moon from hitting the eclipse and potentially winning. Match goes on. Neville grabs the ref by his collar and throws him, puts his hands on the ref, and it's a DQ.
Yeah.
How come one's a DQ and the other one isn't?
Because one of them refs read the rules of the WWE. Mm. That's why.
Okay.
The other guy had not read that book yet.
Gotcha.
That's why. Let's see here. Let's answer questions.
Yes. The six-star savior Adam Fella with another question.
Uh-oh.
We know Aleister Black could be a top guy in NXT, but what is his ceiling on main? I mean, it's Finn Balor levels. It really is.
Which is the moon.
Yeah.
Which is the moon and beyond, man. It's infinity and beyond. Telling you.
Larson, sorry to interrupt you, champion. Dylan Superkick Scribner. Hey, friendos, just wondering if you can bring in any indie talent to 205 Live, who would it be? Leo Rush.
Oh, yeah, that's like top of the list right there. That is absolutely top of the list right there. No NXT, nothing else. Just put him straight into 205 Live. Let me ask you something. Was that Hideo Itami NXT promo during 205 Live Was that intentional? Are they signaling that he's going to be going to 205 Live?
Because all the opponents they showed in that were 205 Live competitors?
Well, that too, but also was the Deo Itami promo during 205 Live.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Part of me when I was watching it, I was like, man, I wonder how we could, like, who would have to be, we do this every week. What would make 205 Live better? We do that every week. And I think to myself, who could we bring into 205 Live that would make it the way I want it to be? And Hideo Itami is a name.
He is a name, but at this point, I think the roster is good.
Yeah.
I don't know if bringing in somebody is necessarily the answer. It's presentation. It's letting them wrestle their style. I think first and foremost, those are the two things that need to be
Here's the biggest problem. Here's going to be the problem. Hideo Itami finishes up in NXT. He's probably going to lose to Bobby Roode. Let's say they ship him over to 205 Live. Does he make his debut on Raw or 205 Live?
Raw.
Once he gets that initial, you're probably right. Once he gets that initial Raw debut cheer, it's dead. Because the next time he comes out, it's probably going to be on Raw again. But when he does come out on 205 Live, crowd is over it.
Let me ask you this.
And you can't, like, big stars, that's the thing. Big stars need the big crowd reaction when they come out, and that's always dead on 205 Live.
I know. Like, I just thought, what if they brought Rey Mysterio in to be on 205 Live?
Yeah.
It'd be, he'd get a huge pop for a couple weeks, but then after that?
I know. Because then I'm just kind of realizing as I'm saying it. That's kind of one of the things lacking is that when these guys come out, nobody cares because they're all tired. I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's like, in addition to the fact that the crowd is dead for the matches, the entrances. Now, remember we talked about the vaudevillains? Man, there is no music in the industry that is more counterproductive to getting a crowd popped than the vaudevillains' music.
Yes.
And that handicapped them. I firmly believe.
Oh, yeah.
But that did so much to hurt them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter who you bring in. Whenever they come out on 205 Live, 205 Live does that most exciting hour on TV is what Corey Graves said.
Yeah,
but you'd never know it.
I know, based on the audience, and sadly, at times I feel like that carries over to Raw and the pay per views because Austin Aries, fabulous wrestler.
Yeah, for sure,
endlessly entertaining.
Yeah,
probably the top star, at least the top face on 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out in Raw here in Sacramento. Mild pop.
Yeah, I know. I think because
Austin Aries is money.
That's the thing. It kind of translates. Like, we're so accustomed to seeing 205 Live and associating these guys with no reaction that when we see them live or when they do come out on Raw, people are conditioned not to have a reaction to them.
Another reason.
You're absolutely right about that.
Another reason not to transition the set to cruiserweights on Raw. Just keep it Raw branded.
Yeah.
Just keep it Raw branded.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
And either put them on an island or have the ability to compete against other Raw competitors.
I think that's the key.
Yeah. There needs to be some amount of, like, if you're not going to have them compete against Raw competitors, put them on their own island and let them do their thing. A million times.
Yeah.
Above titles, Alex C. Candice LeRae being in that Battle Royal should have been a bigger deal than they made of it. Do you think they have a total repackage plan for her when the women's tournament comes around? Also, the women's division got low-key stacked. It's really exciting right now. I agree with that.
Yeah.
A lot of great competitors in that Battle Royal.
I'm assuming if Candice LeRae is going to be in the tournament, they're just saving her reveal till then. Because last night they said Candice, they didn't really show her. They didn't, you know, she didn't get an entrance. They never showed her in close-up.
Yeah.
So unless you knew it was Candice LeRae, you probably just thought it was just a competitor named Candice.
I feel like they have something planned for Sarah Bridges, too.
Yeah.
Because she's even on her Twitter, like it says, like, I think the only thing in her bio is it just says WWE NXT. But she's still listed as Crazy Mary Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're going to do something with her.
They're probably just waiting until the tournament.
That could be.
Because she's only been on TV a handful of times.
Yeah, I know.
So it'd be pretty easy, just especially if they... you know, repackage her as Crazy Mary to bring her out and people could be into it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Super Kill Me Sama says, who do you feel would make a good first feud for Aleister Black? What's a good first feud out the gate?
Oh, Eric Young. We've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Eduardo Camaro, eater of tacos. Hey, friendos. I was surprised when during the Roderick Strong's second segment, he mentioned Ring of Honor. even wore the shirt. Is this a sign that WWE is more lenient on mentioning that promotion? I know they will never acknowledge Impact. Do you think Vince is letting loose on some of the reins? No pun intended. Anyways, thanks, friendos. Too sweet.
Here's my thing. I say never with Impact, but it has to go down the route that you and I wanted to go down to, which is if Impact is a prestigious place to go, then they will mention it. IWG, or New Japan, prestigious place to wrestle. Ring of Honor, prestigious place to wrestle. Impact, complete joke.
Yeah.
But if they started focusing on actual like wrestling, if like wrestlers wanted to go there,
yeah,
and that was a proving ground for wrestlers,
yeah,
then that might change.
Could be.
That could change.
Could be. Going in Raw HR department.
Not I think this is Michael Berry.
It is. Not related to wrestling, but what is your guys' opinion regarding the Philip DeFranco Patreon News Network situation that's been blowing up? I have not been following that at all.
Yeah. Okay. So here's I don't even know why I really favorited this one. Because you know what? He's asking, and I like Michael Berry. And he came up with a great Going in Raw HR department
yes.
slideshow for us because we asked him to. So apparently Philip DeFranco is starting up a news network with Patreon money. And we can't criticize that because we love our patrons, especially these days. Let's see here. What else? Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. WWE decided to let you design the shirts and merchandise for one Cruiserweight and one NXT star or team that doesn't have any. Who are the guys and what shirts can people buy at the shop? I want to redesign Seth Rollins stuff. I think it's so...
Well, he says 205 Live in NXT, though.
Oh, what did he say? 205? Oh. Ooh.
So far, the only 205 Live competitors that have merch, I believe. I think Austin Aries' shirt might still be on the shop. And then Perkins, right? I don't even think Neville has shirts yet. At least not newer shirts.
Yeah, I don't know about Neville. Did you say Austin Aries does?
He used to have. I mean, in NXT, he had a shirt.
Oh, did he?
I don't know if it's still on WWE okay. shop or not, though.
All right.
But let's assume it is, and so we'll take Perkins and Aries out of the equation.
Okay. All right. So 205 Live. Who would I like to design for? Probably Noam Dar. He seems to have, like, space-themed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has space-themed apparel.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe him...
Maybe. You want to do like an all-over space print shirt, like his jacket?
I would like put like a solar system, but like he is one of the planets.
Well, why not the sun?
That's too much.
Okay.
Although I think, what do they call him? The Scottish supernova?
Yeah.
So maybe it'd be like a big gaseous anomaly in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
An exploding star. That's what a nova
design,
supernova
like,
is.
Right? I would say this. I would want to design Aleister Black's gear. However, his Sumerian Death Squad stuff was so on point. I would rather that guy do his stuff.
Yes.
But barring that, let me do it. Who has good stuff? Aleister Black, I'd want the guy who does Bray Wyatt stuff. Bray Wyatt has like
interesting
amazing
stuff. Yeah.
Merchandise that just doesn't get much play because it wouldn't work for him.
Yeah.
Like he wears it, but it just looks like his whole outfit is awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to think who else on NXT doesn't have any merch that needs some. Oney Lorcan.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be cool. That'd be good.
Yeah.
He's got an interesting face. I'll just put his face on a shirt.
Yeah.
Put his face on a shirt. He seems to bleed a lot, so I'm going to put some red blood. It'd be like the Ulysses shirt, essentially.
North Texas Hoss Patrick Beals?
Beals.
Hey, friendos. Has NXT given up on Ember Moon's character? Didn't look like she had her red contacts on last night.
Oh, yeah. That was the question that I was going to refer to. I noticed that too when she came out, no red contacts. And I believe she didn't have.
They shortened her entrance.
They did.
They didn't do the full song.
Probably just for the battle royal because it was a battle royal. But my thing is this, choose a direction and stick with it. If they're going to demystify her, totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Let her personality shine through.
Absolutely.
I mean, give her an underdog persona, whatever you want to do with it. But yeah, no, I totally did notice that. Cole KB Killer Kurtenbach. I'm a new patron and my first two questions were no sold. Well, now this is going to be sold. Coldwater Larson clearly has it out for Kurtenbach. Oh, he thinks that you have it out for him because you no sold his questions.
I'm not the only one that picks questions, though.
I'm going to put it all on you, man. He says, recently, Steven Larson talked about whose entrance music they like the most. It made me remember that some of the catchiest music I know is terrible. Like a jingle you get stuck in your head or Rebecca Black's Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. So whose entrance music got stuck in your head for days after you first heard it?
Hey, Cole, I'll have you know that same question was included on our Dirt Sheets notes.
Whoa! Swerve! Dun, dun, dun.
Delete. Not on them now.
Ooh. Dirt Sheet gets far more viewers than this show. Dang. Well, you're getting answered right here, Kurtenbach. Yeah, that's your name, KB Killer. Cole's a cool first name, though.
It is a great first name.
I literally right now have Ember Moon's theme song stuck in my head. It has been for a couple of days.
It's fantastic.
It is very catchy. I'll give it that.
A lot of the NXT songs are pretty good.
Oh, they're Aleister Black's is amazing.
Hold Bobby Roode is great. Shinsuke is great.
I'm gonna put that in my head.
Even I like Ty Dillinger's. You didn't like it? I liked it. It worked for him.
Oh, I hate Ty Dillinger's.
No, it's good.
It sounds like a Sears commercial. It sounds like a Frigidaire commercial.
No,
it does. It totally does. It really does.
It works for Ty.
It's super generic. You know his music I hate is American Alphas.
Yeah.
Darn.
That's darn, generic. Darn, darn, that is darn, super darn, generic.
Darn, darn, darn. Oh, it's so bad. So Lacey, like I said, Lacey was watching NXT with me last night. And when Sanity came out, I said, hey, listen, they ripped off Primus. And she's like, oh my God, they totally did. And here's the thing about it. I love Sanity's theme, but if you actually listen to My Name is Mud, it is the same thing, dude.
It's pretty darn similar.
It is so close. It is so close. Except there's no.
But it has a double bass drum.
Oh, yeah. Stuff. Yeah.
Sanity's is a little. I'd say a little, maybe, for lack of a better descriptor, harder.
You think so?
But maybe.
And when's the last time you listened to My Name is Mud?
Oh, years.
Give it
I'm very familiar with the song.
Hey, give it another listen, and you'll be like, whoa. Because you know, I listened to it plenty of times back in the day, and then I listened to it literally like a month ago or so, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, gee willikers, this is so close.
It's very close.
Yeah, it is.
Very close.
Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Alexander Karenzi.
Thank you for the question, Cole.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And we hope you don't take our ribbing.
Yeah, we're just ribbing.
Seriously. Alexander Karenzi. Like I've said in the past, he loves heavy machinery. Then you must have loved this week's episode of NXT, Karenzi. This week, Tucker Knight, I think, showed some promise on the mic. However, I think Otis should dial it back a bit. Less can be more at times. What do you guys think of their promo dynamic? I agree with you. Here's the thing, too. He was popping that microphone. He needs to learn mic dynamics. I feel like they're like a couple. They're in like promo class one.
Could be.
As opposed to like polishing.
Could be.
Or second to last.
I do enjoy Otis's enthusiasm.
Me too. No, look, I think both guys are giving it everything they have. And that I would much prefer over somebody who is really good, but they're giving it a half-assed job.
I know.
I would rather see a heavy machinery promo over a Dean Ambrose promo.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying he's doing a half-assed job. Sometimes he can sleepwalk through his promos.
A little bit. The phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega, may the fourth be with you and yours today and every day. In honor of this glorious day, cast Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, with only NXT and 205 Live roster members.
All right.
Well, who would be Luke Skywalker?
Oh, easily. It's going to be, Han Solo's Aleister Black. Deimos Chewbacca. That's what Alex Karenzi says here in his response.
Who is Luke Skywalker?
Luke Skywalker.
Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong, of course. Absolutely. Who's Obi-Wan Kenobi? Regal.
Yeah.
Who's Darth Vader?
Eric Young.
Eric Young. Cian Almas is Lando Calrissian.
Okay. Well, no, this is just The New Hope. This is the first Star Wars movie.
Oh, screw Empire that. Star I'm going to do what I want to do.
Who's Princess Leia?
Oh, Nikki Cross. Because it'd be great. It'd be so great.
It'd be good.
But... And she's Darth Vader's kid.
Oh.
There you go. See?
Well, she's a member of Sanity.
Who's C-3PO? Fine. You give me Princess Leia. You're going to say something boring like Ember Moon.
That's a good choice.
So boring. No.
All right, fine, whatever. Who'd you ask?
C-3PO. Human-cyborg relations. I'm a protocol droid. Proper kind of uptight. Throws cold water on people. I'm certain thing is you. You're C-3PO.
Oh, we can also do 205 Live. Jack Gallagher. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Who's a C3? Who's R2-D2? Can't really understand. Oh, Noam Dar.
Okay.
I love his accent.
Is that everybody?
Pretty much everybody.
Who's Porkins?
Who's Porkins? Oh, Dozovich.
Who's Grand Moff Tarkin?
He's the old dude, right?
Yeah.
The old villain guy.
Yeah.
He actually kind of feels like Aleister Black, to be honest with you. I could see Aleister Black as like the jerk.
Well, Aleister Black should be Darth Vader.
No, man, he's Han Solo, because Han Solo is the coolest dude.
Well, I know, but
I wanted to be Han Solo. I want to be Aleister Black.
Okay.
That's all that matters. All
right.
There you go. Let's see here.
Couple more.
Just a few more. Not a lot more.
A couple.
Oh, man. Leland Thompson's asking us to pick the next five call-ups from NXT. Asuka has to be one of them.
Yeah, Asuka.
Asuka DIY. You think Bobby Roode's going to be around a while?
He'll be up by the end of the year.
He'll be up by Survivor Series? He'll be up by Rumble. He might debut in the Rumble.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think people are going to be before him besides Asuka and DIY?
See, I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're holding off on call-ups till post-Mania, a draft, or the superstar shakeups. So, assuming they have another shakeup at some point later in the year, whether it be after SummerSlam or Survivor Series, then I can see Asuka and I can see DIY. But I think the only thing they're waiting for with DIY is just waiting for someone else to take their spot, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to be the exceptions. Although Asuka, I could see, well, if they're not going to do another draft, how are they going to, if it's true that Vince doesn't like the word draft? Well, Ty debuted in the shakeup. Wait, no, that was post-Mania. That was all post-Mania.
Yeah, but between Mania and the shake.
Did anybody? And I'm sorry. I'm probably. Did anybody debut in the Stupid Star mix up? That was post Mania.
That was the week after Mania.
Okay.
So it was all kind of within the same window.
Yeah. See, there needs to be two windows. There needs to be.
No, I agree.
Mania and a proper draft. Because then at draft, you have like a reason for it. You've got your NXT.
I just wonder
picks.
If they don't want to do a proper draft because they don't want to do a wholesale. You know, reshuffling of the rosters. They just want to make adjustments, which I think is great. I don't want, you know,
here are my
entire
picks.
Turnovers on the rosters.
So that's something. Here's my next five picks, regardless of how it goes down. It's going to be DIY. It's going to be Asuka. It's going to be Andrade Cien Almas. I think he's going to go up sooner than later because there's just nothing for him to do, and I think he's going to fit fine. He's not going to be – there's no reason for him to stick around NXT.
Hideo.
Adeo, oh, for sure. Absolutely. Is there anybody else who, like, got back from injury? Because, like, when somebody gets back from injury, they, like, sort of rush them through NXT. That's what's happening with Adeo right now.
Mm-hmm. I know Oney Lurkin was on 205 Live once.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring him up there full time.
Bang, there's your five.
Yeah.
All right, good job. Well done, everybody.
Well done.
Oh, I have a sneaking suspicion that Liv Morgan's going to go up sooner than later,
that
too.
Could be.
I feel like she's going to bypass the title.
All right, last question.
Last question.
Tyler Wagner. Hey, friendos. I always look forward to hearing Aleister Black's theme song because it's so badass because I love the band that wrote the song.
Nice.
If you can have a band, singer, rapper come in to write or even redo a superstar's theme, what artist would you choose and for what superstar?
What was the question? If you have any band?
If you can have any musician write or redo a superstar's theme.
Yeah.
Who is the artist and who is the superstar?
I would have John Cena's new heel theme written by who did Return of the Mac?
Craig Mack.
That wasn't Craig Mack.
It wasn't?
No.
I thought it was.
It's starts with an M. Mark Morrison.
Oh, my bad.
I'd have Mark Morrison write John Cena's new heel theme, but it's just Return of the Mac.
Okay. Roman Reigns needs a new theme song.
Oh, who's going to do it? See, I'm not hip to like the new shit these days.
I'm not so much either.
Like Aleister Black, I would have no idea if that was like a CFO jam or if that was like
I know. Especially like rock music these days. I'm so out of the loop.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like who would I get to do stuff for? I like a lot of mellow stuff. You get like Jim James to do some shit, like My Morning Jacket.
What about My Morning Jacket doing Luke Harper's new theme?
We talked earlier about, like, you know, not conducive to crowd pops. My Morning Jacket would be non-conducive to crowd
they
pops.
They can rock. Now I want to know what Craig Mack did.
What Craig Mack do?
He did a Flavor in Your Ear. I remember that one. When did that come out? When did Return of the Mack come out?
96. Wow.
Okay. It's my old age showing, getting artists mixed up.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like, every answer I give is be like, I like mellow music. That's the thing.
I know.
Like mellow shit.
I like mellow stuff.
How about this? Public Enemy, they're still relevant.
Yeah.
Who give them a wrestler?
Well, I was going to say, I listen to mellow stuff, but I also listen to a lot of Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think who Run the Jewels could.
Oh, there you go. Leo Rush, debuting on 205 Live.
That's good.
Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anyways, those are our answers to our questions.
Yes.
So, tomorrow we got Dirt Cheap.
Yes.
And until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.